I knew that you were going to. It didn't come as any surprise. No, it didn't come as any surprise. But okay, I tell you the reason.
You make us scared.
No, Omnur, I tell you the reason.
Because for me, that I couldn't write English very well, actually.
Write it in Arabic. Write it in Arabic.
I don't have Arabic.
Write it in the piece of paper. Omnur, let me tell you something. Omnur, mashallah, is very clever. She caught me. But no, let me explain. Omnur, there is a difference between these two situations. The difference...
I understand. I know everybody understands some part of the, lecture. But maybe not a lot.
No, that's the point is...
You give us very strong warning.
No. Omnur, you can ask Marjan, my wife.
Yes.
How much sometimes I feel disturbed about this class. Wallah. You don't know that 3 times I have asked my teacher, shall I continue or shall I stop this?
You need to ask that, brother. what each of us will gain from that?
Let me finish, Omnur. My point is here is not that you do not learn. Definitely you learn. But what I'm afraid of is whether the way I'm teaching you, the things I'm teaching you, you are grasping it correctly. Because some of these topics you must have heard in the past. Some of these topics make people go totally astray. It doesn't happen for you. MashaAllah, you are my teacher yourself. But especially in the youngsters, I want to get a feeling that when I spoke about Avalim, this Fatima in that is very good. She talks to me a lot about this. So that way I understand what is she understanding from what I've said.
Not everybody can talk. Some I know that some of the young
people. No, they can write. They can write emails. But Omnur, please also try to understand my situation. Especially after I give two, three heavy topics, then I feel a lot of anxiety in me. What have you understood from this? How much?
Like us when we die, we go to the, Barzakh, and very strange word for us, so we enter this word now.
Yeah.
Because you make us, and with your help, and with the help of Imam Zaman, Azzawallah Ta'ala, we enter this world, so we need to enter, little by little. So you make us enter this world, and it's useful. We just, little by little, got to enter this world.
No, I agree, but how do I understand that something particular, in particular, we have not understood is wrong? How do I have to understand that? Tell me. When it comes, for instance, it comes to Mahiyat and Wujud. How do I know you have not understood it wrong? But remember, Omnur, especially, see, if it, in Farsi, we have this in a saying, say, again, if you put a brick, when you're building something, you put a brick not straight, and it goes to the sky, it becomes so much, a big angle from the earth. What happens if these blocks that I'm trying to put together, the help of Imam Zaman, if they do not go right, if they're not understood right, at the end of, let's say, in 2 years' time, you might understood something so wrong, and I feel very bad about it. I just can't answer Allah for that. I'm not able to answer Allah for that. But definitely this time I'm going to run. I wrote a letter to one of my teachers in Tehran, and she only gave a message, verbal message to my sister, because my sister printed the letter, took it to that teacher. She told my sister that, no, tell her to continue. I give him a book to read about this issue. I have not got the book yet. So what I understood, because I have got a bit of waswas about this, shall I continue or shall I stop? Especially this part of it is bothering me, that I don't know how much you have understood. So, inshallah, I go in Tehran, to Tehran this time, I get the book and I read and I understand more how I have to approach the issue. But why, the other part side of it is, why do you have to have so much muqawamat not to write that half a page for me?
You have to, for example, if they come next week,
the student
I have.
Okay.
So what do you have to do?
I...
No.
Sorry?
You want to give us a lecture? Maybe yes. If Mama has problem writing, and maybe she cannot get to the computer, she's too busy, you can maybe call Amusa each sometime and talk to him.
No, I'm not talking about myself. I talk about all of
everything.
For example, if you
Mama, if you know, like, believe me,
don't want to stop this class because we are lazy.
Including
no,
I'm sure everyone else can do it. It's just natural, because I have done it before, it takes only 10 minutes.
Oh no, there is another side to this issue. It's very important. The whole thing I'm telling you, as you know, as I have told you, I am not a teacher. When I say I'm not a teacher, it's not out of being humble. There is no teacher as such. Teacher is in you. Everyone's teacher is in himself. Our teacher comes from inside. How does that happen, Dora? What I do is called mu'addat, means helping. These are only helping. These words are only helping you. So that you take this at your quietness, at your lonely, when you're alone, you think about this, you ponder upon. Only when you do that, when you think about them, when it goes inside you, comes out with something you have understood. This is even in Quran, where there is a verse when it refers to that when the rain comes and the rain, Fatima, you remember you were reading that verse for me, the rain comes from the sky and then they hit the ground and then beautiful flowers and fruits and eating things comes out of it. It is exactly the same thing. That is, that rain.
I always talk with the ladies, they complain that this school is not good for our children, this school is good. I said that it is the istidad of that. If you put him in the worker school, if he got that or the equality or the willingness from himself, inside, that he wants to do good, so he will. It is not that school as you say, brother. It's not that good school or bad school. If that he wants to reach, you know he will reach.
So my point was, the conclusion from this was, if only I talk and you never take these words into contemplation and thinking and processing them, it's not going to help a lot, I can tell you that for sure. It's not. It doesn't help a lot. So if you have already done that, or if you do that, it shouldn't be very difficult to write half a page about it. So please, okay, I make the extend that 1 week, so today is 2nd, I give it until 16th, that's 2 weeks now. In 2 weeks time, write me half a page. Sorry?
So do you want about Mahiyya or Mahiyya til Wujud?
Mahiyya and Wujud. These are two together.
Not Mahiyya til Wujud.
No, Mahiyya til Wujud. I don't know what is Mahiyya til Wujud. Mahiyya and Wujud.
Everything has Mahiyya. Even the Wujud has Mahiyya.
No. Wujud doesn't have Mahiyya. Everything. Okay, let me give you a few minutes of explanation about Mahiyya and Wujud again, because I understand there is needs more talk about it. See, what I said is, everything you see in this room, around you, here, there, yourself, there's two things in it. It has got two components. But not in outside world. In outside world, wujud cannot be separated from mahiyat. Because if something exists that you can talk about it, that means it has wujud and mahiyat together is there. But this is what they call, this is a process of intellectualization. It's process of ta'aqqul in your mind. You separate in this. There is a mahiyat in this cup. What is the mahiyat of cup? Mahiyat of cup is what is referred to this to make this cup. Cup means anything with this shape, which you can pour something, any drink into it. You can pour water or coffee or tea. That which makes this cup is that the way it is, that the form and shape of it. But this exists, is existence, is different. You can imagine in your mind a cup without existence at all. You can imagine in your mind water. What makes water? Water. What makes water is that state of wetness and sort of tabarrud of the water, which when you drink it, it makes you feel cold and calm, right? That is water. But that water should exist as well. It can also exist, it can be without existence in your mind. I told you last time this example. You think about water in your mind. Does that make your mind wet? Think about fire in your mind. Just about fire. Does it make your mind barren? Because it does not really exist. You are only taking the mahiyat of it into your mind. If the existence of fire was in your mind, it would have burnt you. So you have, as I said last time, exercises. Look at things and try to think about this and separate its wujud. Wujud is mere existence. Mere existence. Another example is, look at this lamp, this light, one of them might be 200 watts, the other lamp could be 50 watts. In them being light, they are both the same. But intensity of the light are different. So a light with 1000 watts nur intensity and a bulb or a lamp with 100 watt intensity. What is common between them?
Light,
being light, right? That is wujud, that's an example of wujud. What is common between me and you and this computer? We all have existence, we all exist. So that is our wujud. But am I like my computer? No. What makes me different from my computer is my mahiyat. My mahiyat makes me different from my computer. But the fact we both exist, that is the common thing between us. So I exist and an animal exists, but I have a stronger intensity than animal. That intensity is my wujud. Wujud is that intensity is in us that makes us, we can make that even more intense than what it is now. By what? By learning more, by doing ibadat of Allah more, our wujud becomes more and more intense. So that you can imagine like the intensity of wujud of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. The whole universe is under the shadow of his intensity. If you compare Imam Zaman's wujud to light, if Imam Zaman's wujud we could see it, everyone would have become blind. I mean, nothing else would have been able to be seen because intensity of wujud of Imam is too much. So the more we learn, the more we make understanding, and the more we get our hearts closer to Allah, we are making more intensity in our wujud. So wujud and mahiyat are two different things, but they are never separate. You cannot find mahiyat separate from wujud. They are only, the only time when mahiyat did not have wujud, when was? When? You all now think in your imagination. Think, start to think now, right now when I'm telling you. Think about, yeah, in your mind, think about, say that you want to make you want to make an omelette. Okay, that omelette is a food, right? With egg and tomato and just some other ingredients you make. That omelette in your mind, it is in your ilm at the moment. When it's in your mind, you say it is in your ilm. It is in your knowledge. You have knowledge about the omelette that you want to make. That is, yes, I want to make an omelette. I go take few eggs and few tomatoes and some mushroom and salt. So these are in ilm of me. I have knowledge to it. This estate is an estate which is in mahiyat. This omelette is in mahiyat. When I go and take the egg and start to make it and put it into the pan and fry it and make it, that comes to wujud. Now, that omelette has found a wujud for it. But before it was mawjud, it was in my ilm. So when it was in my ilm, that was only mahiyat with no wujud. Everything else versus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like that. Allah has got ilm and knowledge to everything. So long as it is in the ilm of Allah, it is mahiyat. Because that is why it's called, alam, that universe of ilm of Allah is also called alam a'yan sabiteh. Then Allah gives wujud to it, brings it outside. Right? A baby which is not born, he's in ilm of Allah, isn't it? When this person and this person marry, they are going to have a child. But that child exists in the ilm of Allah. The mahiyat of that is the mahiyat of that person. But when that marriage happens and the child is born, that comes to wujud. So once it comes out to wujud, you cannot separate them anymore. Wujud of mahiyat, they are always together. Did it help? So please, ponder upon it more.
There is no Jew without Mitzvah. There is no Jew without Mahiyah.
There is no Jew. There is no Mahiyah without Wujud in this world, in Alam Kharij.
There is no Mahiyah without Mitzvah.
No.
No,
no, it has not come. No, I gave that as an example that then, see, because وَمَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَ فَقَدْ عَرَفَ رَبَّ, that as from that point I refer to it, that while we are in ilm of Allah, we are mahiyat, because Allah has not given us any wujud, right? But when it comes to you, it was only an example to understand it. Okay, you understand it. We have that in that mahiyat, because that is a different issue. I don't want to make you confused. Then you create something in mind that's called wujudul zihni. Zihni, which is a different topic that inshallah. So that was an example that we, in the ilm of Allah, we are mahiyat. When we come outside, Allah gives us wujud. And all our problems come from that mahiyat. Because mahiyat by it only means limitation. Limitation. But limitation is not only dimensional. It's other dimensions, existential dimensions. That Sayyid Bastam, for instance, Allama Hasan Zada Amali refers to this as Jadwal al-Wujudi. Jadwal means table. Everyone has an existential table. In that existential table, I've got, for example, certain stinginess, certain bukhl, certain hasad, certain generosity, or the other word, the certain, all these limitations that I have, it makes me as Sa'id Bassam. That's my mahiyat. That mahiyat is made of limitations. If you take all these limitations out, if you take them in your imagination, make all my stinginess, make it all jawad, being jawad. Being, what is it? Unlimited jawad I have. Take all my bukh away and make me, what is again opposite of bukh?
Generous.
Take all my ugliness away and imagine absolute beauty. Whatever you see in me as my limitations, take it away in your mind, make that unlimited good side of it, opposite side of it. Then becomes God. That doesn't exist. So when limitations are taken away from everything, then that becomes absolute wujud. That is when it's referred to as wajibul wujud. Wajibul wujud means must exist. That means, why they call it wajibul wujud means without that wujud, no wujud could have existed. And his rest of existence, anything other than Allah, is referred to as mumkinul wujud, possible existence. We are mumkin. Why? Because we have been in the ilm of Allah. And when we are every mumkinul wujud in the ilm of Allah, his distance, I would say distance, not physical distance, I'm talking about status distance, his distance to wujud and Adam is same. Until you have not come to wujud, you are as much ma'adum as much as we are wujud. So as long as we are in wujud of in ilm of Allah, or we are same amount of distance from wujud as we have to Adam. Okay. So all those limitedness that we have, Dora, come from our mahiyat. That I'm a stingy is my mahiyat. That I'm bakhil is my mahiyat. That I want everything for myself is because of mahiyat. As you see, Allah doesn't have any of these things. Allah doesn't have, it's not that He wants everything for Himself. Allah Himself is everything. He has his all generosity, he is all forgiveness, he is all beauty, he is all jalal, he is all strength, he is all knowledge. Everything for Allah is different from for us. Okay, yes?
I just remember an
education
for you saying that, how what if you don't like enjoy Namaz, or what if you don't, you can't concentrate? I remember one thing you said, like, really helped me was that you saying that as long as you're knocking on Allah's door, yeah, even if He doesn't open the door, He knows you're behind the door. So don't be after that feeling of joy behind the door. As long as you're doing, you know that He's seeing that.
This is a very important issue for us. Yes. We should not be after that joy of any of these ibadahs. We go and a lot of times we get drawn into it. And then we totally lose what we have. In fact, people, see, it is, as I said, there is an issue of قبض and bast. قبض and bast. قبض is bast is when Allah is looking at us with His Jamal. That is bast. Allah means that means we see the beauty of Allah. All the time we feel Allah in our heart. All the time we feel Allah in our wujud. But there are times that Fatima, Allah look at us with His Jalal. That means sometimes close the doors, finished. And I tell you, it is wajib, we have to go through this process. Because unless Allah cuts the door, closes the door, we don't know whether we are worshipping Allah or we are worshipping ourselves. Am I doing my salat because of that joy, or am I doing salat because Allah has asked me? Marhum Ali Ayatollah Ali Qazi, who is the father of all the urafa of today, I mean even the past generation, he is written in his biography that he says himself, 35 years I was behind the door, I didn't see anything. So if you are too much after seeing those things, after feeling those things, after wanting Allah to open the door, every time we say two rakat salah, we want Allah to open the door and take us into His Jannah, that doesn't help us. So inshallah, we'll see you next week.
I
make it next week, you mean? Okay, I do it this way. If by next week I have heard from you, I teach the new topic. If I haven't heard from you, I do not teach. I still come, but I wait. I continue what I have discussed before. And then the week after is the week that if I have not heard from you again, then I go and cry for my teacher that allow me to close my class. And
brother, one more question. So the money, we can do our money.
You can what?
Our money.
No, what is the question?
We can't choose our money.
How can you? When you are born, what? How much?
No, now. When you have.
No. You cannot choose your mahiyat. You can change your mahiyat. Yeah. You can change, but you will be surprised to know. Don't ask me any more questions after this, because the reason is not, it's not the time. I'm not able to say this at this stage. That you will be surprised to know that what mahiyat you have chosen it before. You have chosen it when you were at the ilm of Allah. You have chosen your mahiyat.
I've chosen my mahiyat.
Yes. So keep that in yourself. Think about it, how it goes to istidad. Everyone
I know that in the ilm of Allah, that Allah knows what I will choose in the future.
Yeah, it is like that. There is a table of existence for you, for everyone. You have got a table of existence. That table of existence is different limitations. You fill up, let's draw a table of 100 squares in it. In each square there is a limitation of you, or of us, every one of us. That was, when we were in the ilm of Allah, that was shown to you. Do you want, even to Shemr was shown, this is your path. And he chose to come. Why would Shemr choose to come, to go through that? Why? No. In that state, no. No, in that state you would know what is good and what is bad.
But because Allah wants.
Because the enjoyment of wujud is so much, no one can ignore wujud. No one can leave. If they are offered anything for wujud, they will accept. Because wujud is very enjoying thing. And as I said, not in our level, but Allah is most multaz and enjoying of His own wujud. And He, because of that, He has given that wujud to us as well. But the point is, people get that mahiyat and come with the hope that, yes, I go and change it. You can feel that all of us, we have got that possibility to change. But the fact is, very few people get changed. People do get changed from their mahiyat, but there are very few people who can do that. بر محمد و آل محمد صلوات. اللهم خیر. اللهم صل علی محمد.